Hopefully that'll work, because I know the last time I did that, I was doing an episode with my buddy, Arsenio, and, like, I don't know what happened, but literally, like, a millisecond was off. So when I was editing it, some parts were good, and then later on, like, the millisecond would, like, cut everything off.
Oh, man.
So it was a nightmare editing that. But hopefully it should work. Hopefully there's no problems or issues.
Okay, cool. I think there's a trash truck in my neighborhood, so it might... there might be some backing up in the background.
That's not a problem. I've had some issues before where, like, I've had, like, the garbage people come and grab the dumpster, or even, like, I think the building next to me, they have, like, gardening people come, so, like, the leaf blowers sometimes will go off.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be too bad. I know my, like, where I'm at, my windows are shut, so shouldn't be too bad, and it's pretty quiet now, so... we can get into it. Welcome back to Lighting Up the Marquee, everybody. We got a very special episode today. For the last couple months, I've actually been working with my guest to see this movie, and now we are able to promote it. We're going to be talking about the movie Re-Elected, and I'm joined by the writer, director, and producer, Max Radbill. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I believe this all started like a few months ago. I noticed... your page followed my podcast page. So then I went and looked at it, and I love the poster. And then I was, like, looking at it and, like, reading what it's about, and I was like, this sounds pretty dope. So let me, like, message him and see what happens. And then, sure enough, you responded, which I was actually surprised about. But, yeah, we've been working, and then you said it wouldn't be done till around the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think last week... you just sent me the screener a few days before the trailer even dropped.
Yeah. Yeah. We had all kinds of grand plans for the movie, for releasing it over the summer before coronavirus and mm-hmm. everything shut down. But it's been finished for about a month or two. It's been like we finished it. And so there's no more work to be done. And yeah, I mean, we're trying to put the film out there and get it into festivals and stuff, and hopefully next year we can actually screen it, and because mm-hmm. it's the kind of movie you want to watch with people, or I want people to watch together.
That's like the vibe I got from watching it, because and then I told you when we were talking how I did the same thing for Brendan Steer's Velocipastor last year. Like, we worked with him and promoted it, but the version I got from him wasn't the final cut. He was telling me there were some things they were working on, and, like, I think there were some songs he needed to change out. The version you sent me was the completed one, right? Like, that's the one that everyone's gonna see.
Yeah, unless I find a typo in the credits, which is possible, because mm-hmm. that was one of the many things I was doing just at the last minute, just throwing the credits together. So mm-hmm. there may be something missing there, but aside from that, I'm not gonna touch it again.
Got it. Yeah, because I think the version Brendan sent me was, I think, only one thing he changed, because I recently just watched it on Amazon Prime. And it was, like, I think it was just the opening sequence was different.
Mm.
But no, this is definitely a movie that needs, like, an audience experience.
Yeah.
It's one of those, I was watching it, and I was having a blast with it. But yeah, I can definitely see, like, watching it with other people would, like, further enhance it.
Yeah.
Because I was only watching it, like, by myself, like, on my, like, laptop or TV, switching back and forth. But no, I wanted to talk to you about, like, the influences behind it, and maybe, like, the, like, where the idea sort of came about with, because it's a very unique concept, I would say. And then when I was watching it, it definitely had this, like, flair of, like, Wes Anderson meets Sam Raimi.
Ooh,
sort of vibe.
I like that.
That's what I got it from, like, the opening shots, or, like, when Nate is getting the party ready and you do all these, like, zoom ins and, like, fast cuts.
Mm-hmm.
It also had Edgar Wright, like, flashes with it as well.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about something in it too. And I just saw the trailer because I hadn't seen it before watching it, but I kind of don't want to talk about it too, because when I watched it, it was a nice, like, how the zombies came about.
Mm.
I thought it was a nice, like, touch. So I don't want to spoil it, even though it's in the trailer a little bit. But I would say when people watch it, don't watch the trailer first, or at least, like, that part, because it was a nice surprise, and it was, like, I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
But I do want to ask you and talk to you about, like, where the idea came from, and, like, sort of what your like writing process was for this movie?
Well, so I had this idea way back in 2000. So the idea started in 2013. And I remember specifically, I was at a 4th of July party and there were a bunch of people just hanging out and everybody was drinking and partying, whatever. We all ran down the street to watch the fireworks. And I was like, oh man, this is a fun party. It'd be crazy if like the end of the world happened or something ridiculous happened. And that just kind of like stuck with me for a while. The idea of these people are, you know, college age or just above that, and they're trying to have a good time on the 4th of July and then monsters attack. And so I actually wrote the script in 2015 as a project for a film class, or it wasn't even for a class. It was literally to get a credit in college just to graduate. And so I wrote this script that I didn't really care that much about. I needed the credit. So I jammed out the script and it was like 59 pages and it was really awful and it wasn't funny and it wasn't well written, but it was just enough to meet the requirement. So I turned it in and got the grade. And then a couple years later, this is 2017 now, I brought it up to my friend Eric, who is the co-writer and producer on the film. And I told it to him and we realized it had this weird relevance after Trump became president. It had this weird relevance right. that I never intended, but it just totally worked on every level. And so we rewrote the whole script from the ground up pretty much. And we just went from there.
Yeah, I was like, even when I was watching it now, there was that like weird that weird relevance that like it sort of like makes sense even now, like further context, like 3 years later with like coronavirus and like the Black Lives Matter movement and all this like political, like everyone's against like America, people aren't wanting to celebrate 4th of July, that it was like funny watching the one character who's like this diehard American but knows nothing about American history, and then everyone else being like, no, this is like Andrew Jackson's a horrible man.
Yeah. Well, it's really interesting because I noticed like right when all this coronavirus stuff happened that the movie keeps taking on more relevance that is just almost coincidental, because we wanted it to have a message, but we didn't want it to be, you know, preachy. We didn't want to stand up on a soapbox and say, here's what's wrong with America. And I think you can enjoy the movie on whatever level you're looking to enjoy it. I think it easily works as just a mindless horror movie. It works as like a metaphor for America. It works. You can really dig into it and find layers and layers of metaphor, but it's never on the nose. It never like attacks you with it.
I never felt like it was like the message was like beating me over the head. It definitely, like, it was there, but it also had those elements of, like, it was, like, a cheesy horror movie, like, have fun with it.
Yeah, that was our ultimate goal, was to make it a fun movie.
Mm-hmm. Even, like, a lot of the jokes, like, you can look at them as jokes, but they also have those, like, meanings behind them, too. But it never hits you over the head with, like, or it never feels like you are telling the audience how to feel. Like, I know certain filmmakers will, like, have that message and they definitely want an audience to feel a certain way, but this is definitely like, no, just have fun with it.
Yeah, because we were making it, or we were you know, polishing the script around when Vice came out, right. And that was my biggest, like, I saw that movie and I was like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to make a movie that's like, here's everything that's wrong and see ya, go home, like that's it. Like, I wanted to make it at least uplifting in a way and fun so that you don't feel, because you watch movies, especially you watch movies like this, to escape and to not worry about what's going on. So
right,
if I could make the film do that, then that's perfect.
I think it definitely does. I think it's definitely a like a good fun like cheesy like movie to watch, but it's also like, if you are paying attention to the messages, they are there. And also, like, even the poster was very similar. I think that's what, like, grabbed me, is I love the poster so much. Mm-hmm. It's similar to, like, Brendan's Velocipaster. Like, I love that, the, like, grindhouse style. I also was looking up on this movie, the character of, Marcus, played by Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking on IMDb, and I don't know who put the fact there, but it says it's the same character from your previous film. Is it like a continuation, or is it just like a little like Easter egg you put in sort of thing?
Yeah, I so I made a feature film that came out in 2017. We finished it in 2017. It never got distribution. We just never had the money to like take it that way. And mm-hmm. it exists. And if anyone wants to see it, I can send them like a YouTube link to it. It'll be a bonus feature on a future Blu-ray of a movie of mine. But the character of Marcus, I wrote him for that script, and we hired Matt, who's a friend of mine from college. And he is just like this really goofy, funny guy who literally you never know what he's going to say. And he's always, mm-hmm. he always comes up with really funny stuff. And he, you know, he played the role in Sisterhood, my previous film, The Sisterhood of Girls Who Won't Date Me. That's the full title. and he was so fun that we decided like, oh, this should just be the same character. And at that point, I've written a few other scripts since then, and every script I try to include that character of Marcus. Even like some movies he dies, some movies he has a completely different career path, some movies he's maybe he'll be the president one day. But he's just this goofy character that practically writes himself, and Matt is such a fun guy to work with that I just like to let him do his thing.
He's like who's the actor? I'm trying to think of the actor that's playing him. He's in like Tarantino movies. I'm trying to remember his name. Where's it at? Michael Parks, who plays the Sheriff Earl McGraw.
Oh, yeah.
He just shows up in all these Tarantino movies, and he like dies in a few of them, but he constantly just keeps coming back.
Yeah.
That's what I was like, after you said that, that's immediately what I thought of just this character that just shows up, even if he dies in like the one before, like he still shows up.
Yeah. So there's like a universe, but also not. And I kind of want all of my movies to exist as movies within each other. So like mm-hmm. you'll see in one movie, there'll be a poster for another one of my films. Mm-hmm. And, or at least hopefully, you know, in the future.
That's what I was like trying to do, because I always would like, I would love like my movies to connect, even if they're not like the same genre or anything. I would like little Easter eggs.
Yeah.
There was like a movie I made in college, like a short film about these like college kids who end up like at the very end, like either get kidnapped or it's very ambiguous what happens to them. But I remember I had people keep coming up to me and being like, why don't you make a sequel to it? We need to know what happens. And I was like, if I make a sequel, it's not going to be about them. You'll literally see like maybe like a news headline that's like two kids go missing, like sort of something like that. And if you know, you know. But
yeah,
because I had like no desire to like do a sequel to that, because I like the ending as it is.
Yeah, no, it's fun to give people like little Easter eggs for paying attention to your filmography.
Right. Like I even wrote another one about like there was like this horror movie I wrote. And like one of the characters in it is like this sweet girl. And then I was writing a Western and I wanted her like great granddad to be like this horrible outlaw, like that runs a gang.
Yeah.
But it's just like the same name. So it's like, it's fun stuff like that. But no, that'd be fun to have like Marcus show up in a bunch of things, and even like him being like the president one day in like one of your films.
That I'm going to have to make that happen at some point.
He could, especially like his like similar like vibes from this movie, like have him like his same agenda from this movie become president.
Yeah, he just wants to have a good time.
Promotes American beer. What was it? American Bohemian?
American that's Bohemian.
That's the name of it.
It's a play on National Bohemian is the mm-hmm. beer that everyone in I went to school in Baltimore, and mm-hmm. everyone in Baltimore drinks Natty Bo. And mm-hmm. so I just put that in there. The label is almost identical to the actual label of Natty Bo. We just changed it slightly, but that's a fun little Easter egg for all the Marylanders out there.
Yeah, I was wondering if that was like a play on an actual beer, because it also looks like the Miller High Life cans, like the like the color scheme. And it's also that's funny that your college has that beer. Like my sister went to Dayton, University of Dayton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Ohio, and they all drink either PBR or Natty Lights. Like, It's those two options.
Yeah, that's kind of what Natty Bo is. It's like PBR for if you live in Maryland.
Yeah, I know. I know my grandparents drink like Milwaukee's Best, even though they're from Indiana. But like that's their choice. I don't know if they still do that, but I also wanted to talk about the filming of this film.
Mm-hmm.
Was it all shot like in a cabin, or did you like just have like an exterior and then shot like interiors elsewhere? Like how was shooting this film?
It was a challenge overall. But in terms of the locations, so we had the cabin, which you see from the outside, and everything on the main floor, because we had the three different floors, the main floor and then the bedroom were all in this same cabin. And that's in Thurmont, Maryland, which is this like outskirt of my hometown, Frederick. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of known for just being in the middle of the woods. The cabin, so we used the main floor of that, the living room, kitchen, all that. And then the basement we filmed at a separate location. That one was an Airbnb. I don't remember. It was like 30 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
And we filmed all of the woods at that Airbnb as well. It was like this huge farm, this farmland. And so we had the basement, we had the woods, and we had plenty of space to spread out and have a good time. But we were at each location for, I think, a week and a half, roughly. The whole shoot was 16 days of shooting, and then mostly overnights. So that was interesting. We became nocturnal. My favorite memory from it is actually the day that I stayed up for like 26 or 28 hours because we had to stay up all night, shoot, and then load out of the cabin. And I went home and I slept for 14 hours after that. And that was honestly the highlight of the entire experience, sleeping undisturbed for 14 hours.
So basically with the film, you had about like two or three like primary locations, essentially?
Yeah.
Okay, and you shot it 16 days. Okay. What was I going to ask? Oh, I was going to ask about the script, because you said you let like the character of Marcus and Matthew do whatever he wants. I was going to ask, like, how much of the shooting was done like with the script, or how much did you let like the actors improvise?
I'm not super rigid when I direct a film, and like I put a lot of effort into the script. I'll put uhs and so's and like dot dot dots, but I like to let it feel natural. And I wouldn't say there was a lot of improvisation. I was always open to it. And I would always like ask the actors if you feel there's a better way to express this, or you think there's a better line or something funnier to say, you know, we'll try it out. And there's a lot of stuff that we came up with on set that ended up in the film. There's several scenes that we had to literally rewrite on the day for various reasons. Usually it was some sort of technical difficulty. We couldn't achieve whatever was written in the script. So the last minute, Eric and I would be on set trying to rewrite the script. And we were so tired and so busy that we had no idea if what we were writing was actually funny. So we would just like write a joke, and then I'd say, is this funny? And he'd say, I don't know. And I'd say, I don't know either. I guess we'll just go with it. And those scenes ended up being, I think, some of the funniest or some of my favorite in the film were the ones that we just like kind of made up on the fly. But it was very, I like to let people kind of make it feel more alive and make it feel more natural. So there was some improvisation. But a lot of the jokes are super written.
That's what, cause I wanted to know that, cause the character of Nate, played by Cameron, the whole time I was watching it, I always got these like Ryan Reynolds vibes from him.
Yeah.
Like just the way he like would deliver lines or his mannerisms. I was wondering how you directed him, because like it seemed like his performance was just like a Ryan Reynolds sort of thing, or, like that Ryan Reynolds style. That's why I was wondering, is like a lot of it might be improvised by him.
Yeah, Cameron, he was the only person in the cast that I didn't know beforehand, of the kids. And he auditioned for us. We had an open casting call in LA, and he auditioned for us. And I don't know his exact experience in film before this. I know he had been a stage actor and he's done a lot of other stuff. He would kind of, I would give him direction and I would, I would tell him like the intention behind everything. And he really seemed to like internalize the character a lot. So that he could kind of take what I was saying and incorporate that and then add himself to it. And he seemed to really thrive with like the comedic moments, the comedic elements of the character. And I was like how his character and I guess mostly his character and Mary, his girlfriend, they're the ones who kind of show the most range of emotion. Like he goes from really goofy, really over the top, really silly, to like down in the dumps, sad, to like screaming, peeing his pants. And he just kind of, he would internalize it and just kind of come out with this character that was so much different than what we originally imagined, but it worked really well. Like we found him to be really likable, which was a big problem we were worried about with Nate, because in the script, Nate could come off really douchey, but
Yeah, that's how I felt. Nate was like, he reminded me, because I'm from Indiana, there's like a lot of people like that where they're like hardcore American, but they really like never studied America. They're just like America for the sake of America. But the way he did it was like, there was like a charm to him that like, you can't really like hate him. It's like, I think with a lot of the characters in the movie, it's like you want to like help him understand, but you like, you don't hate him.
When we started out, Nate was a really tricky character because at first it was very much like Angela's a Democrat and Nate's a Republican. And we were like, we don't want that because that's too obvious and it's not very fun. And so we tried to make him more likable and we definitely did, but there's still an element to it. It's like, depending on who plays this, we don't know how it's going to go. And so we just kept telling ourselves, Eric and I kept saying like, oh, we're just going to find an actor who is charming and likable. And we didn't really know how we were going to find that person. We were just like, yeah, we'll just find somebody who's likable. And when Cameron auditioned, we were like, okay, well that's likable. He comes off, you can't hate him. And so the character, I think we lucked out because we were really worried about him coming off as unlikable.
Yeah, especially with like a script like this where you want it to be goofy and fun, but you have like sort of some political undertones. It's kind of like a balancing act with how do you make it funny but not like become like a political debate, essentially. Especially with everything, especially more now, but like a lot of times it's everything's like one-sided. There's no middle ground. Like everybody either is on one side or the other.
And yeah, we were really afraid of that with the with Nate and Angela. So I think we were able to, step it back a lot and make it so it's not this versus this, and it's kind of just like a conversation.
Yeah, and letting everybody know still to have like a good time, like you don't have to like agree with something or like disagree with something sort of thing. No, this is like, that's what I definitely felt. I never felt like it was a political debate. Like again, it was all just good fun. Like I think a lot of the characters you can see as people you know in your life. So I feel like that'll relate with a lot of people when they watch this film, is like you can see someone in your life as a Nate, or you can see someone in your life as an Angela, which I think is a credit to like good writing in a sense. Like you want to have characters that you can emulate someone in your life to relate it to.
I'm really happy. I've shown the film to several people now, and one thing that a lot of people got, which that we really wanted them to get, was that the characters were likable in the sense of like usually the characters in a slasher movie are there to get slashed. And we were really, we're doing this for such a low budget and there's nobody famous in it. So we kind of had to like give something else. And it's like, okay, if we have characters that people can invest in and care about when they die, or root for while they're fighting, then that'll be kind of different in its own way, because I've just seen so many slasher movies. A lot of the Friday the 13th movies are hit or miss for me, because sometimes they have really interesting characters, and then sometimes they're just people there to die.
That's what I was going to say, was in Friday the 13th, I think it's the producer of the films. I forgot who was talking about it, but like, I think it was the producer. He's saying, like, what's the point of character arcs in these movies if they're just going to die? Like, people go to these movies to root for Jason, like,
yeah,
in a sense. And it's like, a lot of, like, even for me, like, a lot of horror movies, I start rooting for, like, the killer, because it's like, all the characters are annoying, like, just get rid of them. I do agree with you, like, there are Friday the 13th I get annoyed with. I still think the sixth one's the best. That's like, which one is that? The one where it's like he's James Bond at the beginning? Where Jason, like, it's like the meta one.
Oh, I don't remember. I'm going to have to go back. They all kind of blend together at some point.
They do, but I think that was the only one that stuck out to me.
Yeah.
It was actually, like, it was actually funny.
Yeah.
I was actually going to ask you, since you mentioned that Cameron was the only one you didn't know prior to filming this, how was, like, casting everybody? And, like, how was... You said a lot of the cast, like, you knew prior to filming this.
Yeah, casting was interesting because we didn't actually cast anyone together. It was literally... the five kids, yeah. They all came together separately. And it was in my head, I was like, oh, I think this person would be really good for this character, and this person would be good for this character. They'll look good together on screen. They'll have chemistry, sure. We were kind of going on blind faith that they were all going to work cohesively. And they didn't all come together until the Friday before we started shooting on Monday. We had like a table read, and they all sat down and read the parts. And I kind of like brushed the sweat off of my brow, and it's like, okay, good. Like, they all do have chemistry, and they do play well off of each other.
So it was basically you saying they didn't meet each other until, like, literally the Friday before you shot.
Yeah. Because we were so limited with time and money that we couldn't, you know, have, like, rehearsals. And most people were... So we shot the film in Maryland, but most of the cast was in L.A., mm-hmm. And then a few people were in Maryland, and they all had to come together pretty much just right before we shot. That was the soonest we could get everyone together.
That's crazy.
And I knew everyone. So Chloe, who plays Mary, Matt, who plays Marcus, and Kayvon, who plays Evan, the three of them I knew from college. I don't think they had ever worked together, to my knowledge. They were all in the film or theater scene, but none of them ever worked together. And then Natasha, who plays Angela, is a friend of mine that I met in Los Angeles. And she was like the first person I cast, because I met her a couple years ago and was like, this is Angela. And so we cast her, and then we cast everybody else, and it worked out. It was one of those things where I just crossed my fingers and it worked out.
It did. I actually thought a lot of them, like, on screen did work together. That's pretty crazy, though, that, like, they didn't meet until the Friday before shooting. Because I know, I think the couple times I directed in college, I always liked meeting with the actors. But then again, that's, like, the luxury of college projects. And you can meet with them and make time. But it did work out. I do think it worked out for you that they all did have chemistry on screen. And they all pretty much worked together. Like, even, like, the scenes you paired them up with. And, like, have them, like, different characters interacting with each other.
Yeah.
I think they all played off of one another pretty good. What was the process like with picking the certain presidents that you did to be the zombies in this film?
So at first, when I wrote the really shitty version that I didn't actually, like, care about, I just picked whatever presidents I knew of. Off the top of my head. And so it was a bunch of random dudes. I think there were like five or six at that point. And then when we revised it, we realized the through line of the zombie presidents would be money. Mm-hmm. And so we picked George Washington was always the guy, because George Washington is, you know, He's the OG.
Everybody knows.
And then Lincoln was the other easy, like, you see the hat and you know who he is. Mm-hmm. And then it was, so Washington was on the $1 bill, Lincoln's on the $5. And then we thought, oh, well, who's on money? Who was a president? And then Andrew Jackson. I guess it was, one of us must have suggested Andrew Jackson. It was probably Eric suggested it, and then I said, I don't know who that is. And then that's how there's a running joke throughout the movie that nobody knows who Andrew mm-hmm. Jackson is. And so we brought him in, and we decided, okay, it makes sense to have those three. I think for a while we had Thomas Jefferson, but he didn't mm-hmm. really do anything for the story. And so we played around with the idea of having him be another president. We played with the idea of him being Hamilton. But that was, we didn't want too many comparisons to Hamilton, especially it ended up that Hamilton came out on the 4th of July this year.
Yeah.
And then he was just going to be a random zombie. And then we were like, no, let's just have the three presidents. Mm-hmm. Keep it simple. And yeah, that's so really they came about through being on money.
The money. I thought it was an interesting take on like, the zombies in this film, because they all like can speak, at least like George Washington can speak and like form sentences. I thought it was a very interesting take to like give them personalities versus like them just being like the gimmick of they're just dead presidents as zombies.
Yeah.
I thought that was, I liked that a lot because I, again, it's super unique to have like a zombie that actually has like motives.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I always just wanted it to be like, I love the scene of a villain explaining their mm-hmm. plan. And we were looking a lot towards the Evil Dead, and Evil Dead, the zombies are almost more like demons.
Yeah. I think that's how they explain it. Like they're demons. They're not technically zombies.
Yeah. And so that's what we were going for. The characters in the movie all call them zombies, and we refer to, you know, George Washington as a zombie, but they were like evil spirits possessing dead bodies. And there's a whole, mm-hmm. like, I'm sure one day I'll do a whole hour long video explaining the process to which the zombies in Reelected came back to life. But we tried to make it as convoluted as possible because that's a fun trope in zombie movies when everything's really convoluted. Oh, yeah. And yeah. So they're not zombies in the traditional sense.
They're similar to like you said, Evil Dead, where it's like demons or like these evil spirits.
Yeah.
Possessing the dead bodies of the president. I also kind of thought that was funny how they're all like buried close to each other, just in this woods, but they're presidents.
Yeah. We played around with that too, because I think at one point I came up with the idea, oh, we should have, in the beginning of the movie, they explain that they're moving all of the president's graves to this random spot in the middle of the woods. And then I was like, oh, that's stupid. And I guess it's up to interpretation if how it happened. There's it's magic.
I think it's one of those things where it's like, just don't think about it. But like, it's kind of a funny like idea when you think about it.
Yeah.
That, like all these presidents would just be buried in the middle of the woods. No markers. They're just there.
Yeah.
Like, just bodies buried. I was thinking, even after this movie ended, I was wondering if there was any possibilities you would want to like write a second one and even like have more presidents come out, like make it bigger. And if you had the chance to like come up with another story for it.
Yeah, we've joked about that a lot, and I've come up with a really loose idea for a sequel. It would have to be titled Re-Reelected. I wouldn't do it if I couldn't call it that, because that's just so stupid.
Or like Re-Elected Second Term, or something like that.
Yeah, I love like terrible sequel titles. I think more movie sequels should follow the Fast and Furious thing. So it should
the
be
way they...
It should be Re-Elected, or Re-Elected. You know, just something stupid. You see that, and it's like, that's a dumb title. Mm-hmm. And it would definitely make fun of horror movie sequels, because in this one, we weren't making fun of horror movies, but we were kind of like pointing out tropes and leaning into mm-hmm. them. And we would definitely do that in a sequel. It would probably take place in the National Portrait Gallery, and I would have the portraits come to life as zombies. And you know, have like a group of like high school kids come for a
Like a field trip.
yeah. And so there's this like young group of kids, and then the characters who survive, I won't spoil it, but the characters who survive from this one come back to fight the zombies again. And we have a lot of really silly ideas, so if it were to happen, I could make it work.
I think it would be great. I would love to see like a continuation of this universe, or like even if you do a sequel, not even have like the same characters, but like continue like kind of like the idea. I think it'd be pretty interesting to have like expand on this like universe, because it could be like the Evil Dead where they just keep going and it just keeps getting like, because the way, again, I don't want to spoil it, but the way they bring the spirits into the bodies like easily could happen, like you said, on like a field trip or something. You could even do like a joke. If you could, like, you could do a joke with like Nick Cage, like National Treasure sort of thing.
That's the dream. That was if we had more money, I would have loved to have cast Nick Cage in this movie.
Nick Cage would have been perfect for this. But it's a great, like, it's a fun film, definitely. That's what I think I was seeing on your Instagram, that it's gotten into some festivals, or like some, it's been seen at some festivals so far, even with the whole pandemic.
So I submitted to a bunch of festivals, and it's gotten into several that either selected it and they're not sure what they're going to do, or they selected it and are doing virtual festivals, and we're waiting to hear back from a bunch. I'm crossing my fingers, but I'm hoping that it ends up playing at some virtual festivals, because that's the way a lot of places are going this year. And so it's available for like a limited time on their website or online. And yeah, we've gotten a really positive response to it so far.
I am hoping this film like definitely like gets more attention, or like as soon as like things can start happening, I would like to see it get more attention. I know, like, again, with Brendan's VelociPasser, it seemed like after he showed up on this podcast, and like the more and more like I was seeing it pop up everywhere, like it was crazy that, seeing how fast that blew up. So I definitely would like to see this one blow up like that as well.
From your mouth to God's ear. I want it to get distribution. Obviously, that's what everyone wants for their independent film. Hopefully next year. I'm hoping there's opportunities for people to watch it this year, and then next year would be like a big release for it. And then I would love for this to become like people's 4th of July movie.
It could, honestly.
That was what we had in mind when we were making it. Like every year on the 4th of July, you pop in reelected, have your friends over, drink some American Bohemians, and have a good time.
That'd be some like good merch you could sell, of like get your own like the National Bohemian but cross it off, put American, or like
We
just figure out how to sell cans of it.
we were gonna do merch. That was part of my grand plans for we so originally in January, Eric and I were so we wrote it, we produced it. It's like we're doing everything for it. I'm running the Instagram. He and I have been promoting it and trying to get it out there. We were planning a road show where we were going to go to major cities across America and screen it for like one night only. And we had a couple theaters booked in like Los Angeles and San Francisco and on the East Coast. Then all this happened and we had to cancel that, but we were going to sell merch. And so I'm thinking about making merch, like once the movie kind of takes off, koozies with the American Bohemian logo. I'd want to do t-shirts, hats, all kinds of, there's a lot of fun stuff. I'm hoping at some point this can have like enough of a following that we can make merch. And
That would be amazing, because this is definitely a film that you could, there's endless ideas of merchandise you could do.
yeah, I think I'll know that I made it as a filmmaker when there's a zombie George Washington action figure.
That is true. They honestly, the look of like the zombies in this, I thought could be like, you could see those as little figures at like cons at, like all across the country.
Yeah, or Funko Pops. That's
a Funko.
That's the new Pez dispenser. That'd be the dream.
A Funko Pop of zombie George Washington. I would get that.
Yeah.
No, I think the film definitely has style. And it definitely has a look. I feel like could get this a huge following. Again, it all is a matter of like once things start opening up again, like you said, but hopefully with a lot of these festivals that can just virtually screen it.
Yeah.
Or even you could do like possibly promotions of like watch, like what is it, Google Play or like the Netflix party sort of thing with the film.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Where like a lot of people could watch it all at once kind of thing.
Yeah.
I saw the trailer like literally right before we started recording had almost 8,000 views.
Yeah, I was excited about the trailer cuz I cut the trailer myself and mm-hmm. I put it out on July 3rd and it got a good response. And so I'm hoping, you know, I can promote it and get more people to see it.
I think so too. I think it definitely has the possibility. Hopefully like people who listen to this podcast too can like go out and find it. Well, cause you sent me a screener. So you want to wait till the festivals and everything before you like publicly post it or how are you going to let people check it out?
So right now I just want people to check out, you know, our page and the trailer and everything that we do have. I want to see how the festivals go and hopefully distribution that it can be released next year and available through any number of, there's a million ways to distribute a movie these days. Mm-hmm. So it's not available to watch, unfortunately. It's weird. People keep asking me like, oh, where can I see it? And I'm like, nowhere yet. But in the grand scheme of things, you know, it's not far away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all still a big question mark right now, just in terms of getting eyes on the screener, like from festivals, getting eyes on the trailer, getting attention, and then seeing how the social landscape plays out over the next year.
Right. Well, that's the cool thing I love about like hosting this podcast is getting the chance to like help promote films like this and like help promote filmmakers. So that way, once the film is available, people can check it out if they like listen to this and then they get interested by it.
Yeah.
'Cause I think the one I did with Brendan promoting Velocipastor is probably my most listened to podcast.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. And it's weird seeing it keep going up in numbers like a year later.
Yeah. Brendan's a good friend of mine. I think I found you through him. Cause I was looking at his Instagram and I was like, oh, this seems like the right place. Brendan's a good dude.
Oh yeah. I'm very excited. He recently just announced, for those listening, he just announced the sequel to Velocipastor, which is, as of right now, called Outback Dracula, I think is what he's calling it. But it was great. It was awesome seeing, like, Hollywood Reporter, like, wrote about it as well.
Yeah. Yeah, Brendan's a great guy. I met him at a screening of the Velocipastor, and we...
Oh, really?
We kind of hit it off after that. Mm-hmm. He's kind of like I aspire to be like him.
It was crazy because last year I got Velocipastor sent to me through a mutual friend of ours. And then literally after watching it, I FaceTimed Brendan and we talked for like a good 40 minutes. And we were like clicking on a bunch of things and a bunch of movies. And then we were able to bring him on the show, which was awesome. And then I think he messaged me like a few months later wanting to come on and talk about Joker and like Rambo. So we had him on again to review a movie, but Brendan is a great dude.
Yeah.
That's why I'm very excited to see what happens with, like, Re-Elected, because his movie blew up after he showed up on this podcast, so hopefully I can do the same for your film as well.
I would love it.
And then, I don't know if you've sent the film to any other, like, podcast or, like, any other people to help promote it, but I think I saw... Right before this, too, you promoted someone else reviewing your film as well?
Yeah, another podcast I found through Instagram, Bad, Weird, and Cheesy. And I was like, that perfectly describes this film. So he had some really nice things to say about it. So yeah, I think podcasts are a really interesting way in this day and age to promote movies. It's like the new radio. I don't know. It's been around. Podcasts have been around for a long time, so I don't know what they're replacing at this point. But
I don't know either. But it's great connecting with like a lot of other podcasts. Like I got a friend who does it in Chicago. I'm working to try to get on one in Wisconsin. Or like we've all like know each other and like are trying to work with each other. So it's like great connecting with other people. I was actually even going to ask you if you want me to message them to see if they would help promote your movie as well.
Definitely. Yeah. I have that screener. Sorry if you're listening, you can't watch the screener, but, yeah, I'd love to promote it. I want to get as many eyes on it as possible. That's the ultimate goal.
I can send you, like after we're done recording, I can send you the two podcasts I was talking about, or I think there's even a third one I could. I'll message them as well, but I'll send you what they are and you could possibly reach out as well.
Sure.
So that way they're just not like getting a random message out of nowhere. They know what's going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would love to help promote this film anyway. I'm sure once everything gets distributed and people start seeing it, I'll even promote it further. I always love helping like my guests out when they come on the show and help promote their stuff.
Yeah.
But definitely it's like, I want to help get this movie seen because it's a fun time. I think a lot of people are going to have fun with this film.
Yeah. I appreciate it. Yeah.
I think I got maybe a couple more questions. I'm not sure. I feel like I'm wrapping up on everything I had to ask at least. I think I had one more, but I'm blanking on it right now. I feel like I'm blanking on the question right now. Yeah, I think that's all my questions actually. I can't remember that last one. Sorry about that.
That's all right. You can if you think of it, you know.
I'll message you.
I'm always ready to talk about the movie.
Yeah, but I think that's actually gonna wrap it up because I think that's all my questions I had for this film. I want you to help promote it. I'll help promote it as much as I can. But before we leave, I will have you take the floor, let everybody know where they can at least check out the trailer, check out your website about it.
Yeah. So we're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Reelected Movie. No, the Reelected Movie. Yeah. And if that doesn't show up, then it is Reelected the Movie, but I'm pretty sure it's Reelected Movie. Yeah, we have the trailer, we have some behind the scenes pictures and footage and stuff, and that's Instagram in particular is where I've been promoting everything that happens. Every opportunity to watch the film will be promoted there, and Facebook. Twitter too, but Twitter stresses me out, so I don't use Twitter that much. I'm not very active there.
Twitter is very stressful. Just getting on for like a second and the first four tweets can stress you out.
Yeah, especially with a movie called Reelected. Like if you just,
right.
If you search Reelected on Twitter, that's not gonna, it's gonna ruin your day. But Reelected Movie, is where it's at. But yeah, it's a cool film and hopefully people will be able to check it out soon. And, I think people are going to like it. I like it. I'm glad to hear that you like it. I want to say one person who I want to give a shout out is our special effects makeup artist. His name is Spat. His name is Errol Spat Octen. I think I mispronounced his last name. He's a cool dude. He lives in Atlanta and he does special effects. He does a lot of like really independent films. He does like weapons, he does zombies, he does wounds, he does all kinds of makeup. He has a page on Instagram, Spat Cave, and he posts cool pictures of the stuff that he does. And I like his work. And I think if you see the stuff that we've posted from Reelected and you like his stuff, you should check him out because he is a pretty cool dude.
Yeah, go check out the Instagram. That's, I think, what sold me to message you was, like, the images of the zombies.
Yeah.
I thought they looked really good. They reminded me of, like, I don't know what his, like, background is or, like, who his influences are, but it definitely gave me, like, Tom Savini vibes of like, or at least early Savini with like Romero and, well, not as, I'd probably say like Day of the Dead Romero, not like Dawn of the Dead, like white faced zombies. But no, I'll promote that page as well so everyone can go check out his work. I usually always put all the links and everything in the description of the episode so people can go check it out. Is there a website for Reelected?
No, we don't have a website. But Facebook and Instagram function pretty well for what a website would be.
Got it.
And yeah, YouTube, if you want to, it's Reelect. YouTube, I know, is Reelected the movie.
Got it.
So
I'll put the link. Is that for the trailer?
Yeah, the trailer, and we'll probably post some behind the scenes stuff there in the future.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be great. I think that would help sell a lot of people to go check it out too. Of like seeing behind the scenes as well, or even people who get the chance to see it, they can go there and check out all the behind the scenes stuff. Because I was very interested in seeing a lot of how you guys filmed it, how you guys were able to, like you said, figure out a lot of things on set. I think it'd be cool to see in like some features.
Yeah. Yeah. We got some, good, some fun nuggets.
Well, thank you for coming on, Max. I had a lot of fun talking about this. Hopefully once everyone gets the chance to see this film, or hopefully everyone does get the chance to see this film, definitely go check out Reelected. Go check out the Instagram and Facebook page. It's a fun time. That's all I got to say. It's a fun time. It's a fun movie. It's very funny. Again, thanks, Max, for taking time out of your day to come on this podcast and talk about this film. It was a lot of fun.
Of course. Thank you for having me. Yeah.
You can check us out at Lighting Up the Marquee on Instagram and Facebook as well. We've been more active on Instagram lately versus Facebook. But then you can also listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, I think. I don't even remember all the websites it's on, and Stitcher. And then until next time, I'm your host, Tim Martin. This has been Lighting Up the Marquee.